show that looks at all aspects of integrative medicine for cancer, the people, the places, the techniques. At present, the Yesterlife shows are concentrating on Yesterlife's new book, The Cancer Revolution, written by Patricia Peat and 27 international experts, and due to be published on April the 21st. Last week, I spoke to Janie Lee Grace and Dr. Robert Verkirk about toxins in our environment. Another two experts who contribute to the cancer revolution are medical directors of two of the world's foremost integrative clinics, Dr. Rao of the Paracelsus Clinic in Switzerland and Dr. Contreras of the Oasis of Hope Hospital in Mexico. In today's show, I'm sticking with the subject of toxins and speaking to them both about removing them from our bodies. I begin by talking to Dr. Rao over Skype, who has a long-established reputation in this field.
Good afternoon, Dr. Rao. Thanks so much for coming on the Yes Life Show. And thank you also, of course, for your contributions to the cancer revolution and bringing in some very important material there. Okay, so I've long been aware of your work and of the clinic, the Paracelsus. Over the years, the charity Yes to Life has helped a lot of people to travel to Switzerland to see you. And I think that most regular oncologists in the UK, and indeed many cancer patients, would think that there are more important things to worry about when you have cancer than the state of your teeth. In fact, many people wonder why they deserve any attention at all in this context. So at the Paracelsus, you clearly think otherwise, and I believe it's one of the very early investigations you undertake and you make treatment recommendations for. So why is this?
You know, I understand the oncologists when they say we have other things which are more important for treating cancer. Of course, we have to treat against cancer. But the big difference is that they only treat against cancer and we treat for the body and we remove the causes why patients, they got cancer. So it's a double track approach which we have. We are not against orthodox oncology, even though we do better things, but we, as a causal treatment, we work on the teeth too. And there is a lot of research and studies that dental toxicity, dental bacteria, jawbone issues, and also heavy metal load can create cancer. For example, mercury, especially mercury and tin, as we have in amalgam fillings, together, this alloy, this makes a highly cancerogenic influence to the body. For example, we did tests on breast cancer tissue when we removed, the surgeon removed breast cancer, and around was a little bit healthy tissue also, because you always remove a little bit more so that the margins are clear. And we tested these cancer nodes for heavy metals, and we found mercury levels which were up to 30,000 times higher than in the surrounding healthy tissue.
Wow.
So it is. And on the other side, toxicologists, they know exactly that, for example, cadmium can create stomach cancer, can create colon cancer, lead creates colon cancer, cadmium creates bladder cancer, and also breast cancer can be created by or co-created by heavy metals. So we look in each cancer patients, and I treat since 25 years hundreds, thousands of cancer patients in our clinic. We are the most advanced cancer treating clinic in Middle Europe for biological cancer treatment. And so we do this since so long, and we see that if we do orthodox or whatever kind of anti-cancerous treatment, and we accompany them with the dental detoxification, we remove the mercury fillings, we also do root canal removing if they are infected, and we do these things, and then we have much the better results.
Mm. So obviously heavy metals can be an issue from other sources other than your teeth, but obviously you feel this is kind of a prime cause for people suffering from heavy metals.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It's one. Of course, it's only one cause. We have We have different other causes too in our patients, which can create or lead or help to lead to cancer. One of, for example, is also cancerogenic bacteria in the intestines. It's not that we only do dental work. We also do other work.
Sure. Anyway, it's something that certainly in the UK you've got known for, though, because it's certainly the dentistry side is something people have to seek out for themselves here. You would never find it going alongside cancer treatment. The Paracelsus is really well known for its emphasis and skills in detoxification. And in this interview, I'd like to go into some detail about just this one aspect, the dentistry. But maybe you just want to say a bit now about the broader scope, because you practice what you call biological medicine. That's your approach there. Maybe you could just briefly describe the whole approach and the elements that you combine.
Well, the elements which we combine, it's a very individualized program which we do on all patients, not only on cancer, also in autoimmune or unclear diseases. We have a very, very widespread approach. But basically, it is three pillars, Dr. Rao's three pillars of biological medicine. First is detoxification. This comes not only from the teeth, it's also from the tissue, it's also from organic toxins. More and more we find xenohormones, the so-called organic toxins like bisphenols and pyrethroids and all these horrible things from environmental loads. Then we also find bacteria, for example, Clostridia are cancerogenic bacteria. We test in the intestines if such influences are around, and then, of course, we rebuild the intestinal flora. So it's the detox. Secondly, we do we call it intestinal pillar, but this intestines upbuilding means much more than only having a good digestion. No, it is the immune system, because 90% of the T cells and the natural killer cells, which you need against cancer, are laying and are built in the intestinal walls. And this intestinal wall has to be recovered so that you have a better lymphocytic immune system, which is nothing else than anti-cancerous immune system. And the third pillar is that we look at the patient in its whole, and we say, well, the fact that you get diseased is always the background, is that you have a degenerative tendency, a degenerative path where your body is on, and we do upbuilding. We build your body back. We build it up cell by cell, and that's a long-term process. And to do so, we need to know what are the deficiencies, the trace element, the vitamin deficiency, perhaps not enough good essential amino acids or fatty acids, which you need. We test all these factors, and then very individualized, we do the upbuilding treatment. So it's the dental is only one, but important part.
Yeah, I understand. So in terms of the third one, the build-up there, these are lifestyle problems that you're dealing with, where somebody's, their lifestyle has led them into what you call a degenerative condition. And so you're trying to turn that around. Presumably you're going to give them some lifestyle advice to go with that, so they don't walk out the door and go back onto the downward path again. Is that right?
Yes. We do a lot of lifestyle consulting, but it's not just anti-aging consulting or so. No. No, it's much deeper. It is really about how you, dear individual patient, has to do the nutrition. So nutritional work is a lot of what we do, but also how to train the body, how to it's not only physical training. Of course, we speak about physical training a lot too, but it's more what you can do yourself for upbuilding your body. That's a very important factor. I did two books. I have this book here, yeah. The Swiss Secret, and the bigger one, the Biological Medicine, which I have here biological medicine, which is, so to say, the Bible of what we do here. And just recently I brought out a cookbook that we really can do it practically, cookbook.
Okay, so I'd like to come back to the dentistry now and to go into a bit more detail. Could you go through the materials that are commonly used in dentistry, and not just the bad ones, the good ones as well, so that we can give people an idea of what the upside and the downside of these different materials are?
Well, normally when patients come to us, we try to test for what loads they have. We look in saliva, we look in urine for heavy metals, and this is one thing. And normally the heavy metals come from nutrition, and they also come from the dental material. So this is one thing. Our clinic, biological dentistry clinic, which we have in Paracelsus Clinicus Mühli, Switzerland, we are fully metal free. We do not need use any metal, because also metal crowns contain alloys, and they very often contain cadmium or palladium even. Even gold is an alloy and very often contains palladium, which is a strong neurotoxic heavy metal.
So would it be true to say that there are no metals then that you would recommend people have in their mouths?
Well, more or less, yes. What you just asked, my answer would be yes. Try to have no metal in your mouth.
Right.
You can do the fillings, you can do the implants. They exist from ceramic, which is non-metal. You can do all the fillings, and there are also the new PEEK plastic, this PEEK material, which is a very highly developed plastic, which has a little flexibility, so it's not fully rigid like ceramics, and so it does not break, and it has a density which is strong enough to do bridges, crowns. Even new dentists development, they even have hybrid implants which contain one part of this plastic, so they have a little bit flexibility and they no more break and they are better. So these are the materials. Then it's still some glues which are problematic, where crowns are glued.
Yes.
And we try to do non-glued constructions.
So like how do you attach them without the glue?
By having a conic, so that it fits so well to one another that, for example, the crown on the implant, it fits so well, and it has a little bit the conic dimension, so you can put it, and with the little hammer, it holds by friction, and that really works.
Right. Okay, clever. So basically you're saying you use no metals, and the two materials that you are using are this advanced plastic and ceramic in different kind of combinations.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Okay, interesting. All right, so I've read quite a bit about root canal fillings. You've mentioned them already in relation to cancer and chronic disease, and specifically I've read warnings about the detrimental effects on long-term health. I believe you consider them to be an unwise choice. Can you tell us what you see the problems are and what's on offer for people who already have them?
Well, this is really an issue, and we see a lot of patients who come with horrible dental situation, and they contribute to their diseases a lot. For example, lumbar, spine pain, joint pain, but even cancer we see very often related to the correlating tooth. We look on which tooth is the problem, because every tooth belongs to a meridian system. Well, in Chinese medicine, that's not my invention. It's the Chinese medicine which says which tooth belongs to which organ. And it really is something real. So we see this all the time. And Then we look, do the metal produce electricity? So is there a galvanicity, which we measure with a little tool? It's like an electrician, they measure where the electricity are. And we can test this too. So we have a toxic, we have an electric or galvanicity, and we also have a meridian issue.
And so just to be clear on the electricity, so what's happening there is that a combination of metals is acting like a small battery and producing
exactly.
electricity. Yes.
Yes, we have a battery in our mouth, and this battery can go up to a strength of the electric current, which goes up to 10 to even up to 100 milliampere, which is 0.1 ampere. That's extremely high electricity. Yes, it's really a battery in your mouth, which can irritate, again, the meridian, but also the mucous membranes. Mm. So
okay.
It's easy to measure.
Yeah. Okay, so somebody comes to you who has root canals, and maybe their root canals even that you think are in quite bad shape. What do you do about it?
Again, it's super individualized. If a patient comes to me healthy from the road, so to say, and has a root canal, then I test how much load is it for this regulation capacity. And perhaps we tell the patient, well, we have to be careful, watchful waiting, so to say, and you don't need to do it now. But if a cancer patient comes, or a chronic fatigue, or a polymyalgia rheumatica, or a rheumatoid arthritis, or whatever it might be, the regulation, the compensation capacity is already decompensated. And then we suggest to remove toxic and or neurotoxic bacteria from the root canals, to remove the root canals. But this suggestion is very individualized. We have, I know there is a bad reputation about the so-called biological dentists, because there are some around which say you have to remove everything and so, and this is not serious.
Right, so you're doing it when it needs to be done only.
Exactly.
You're just keeping an eye.
Yes, very differentiated in the decision to remove root canal or to redo or to what we really suggest. Amalgams, I must say, we always suggest to the patient to remove amalgams, the silver filling, because they are toxic and they are a time bomb. Mm. Always.
It's extraordinary that those amalgams they haven't gone completely yet. They're still offering them to people, but of course they were the standard of care for so long, despite the fact that no dentist would ever handle the stuff. If you're in this country, all right, in the UK, and you're seriously considering making some changes, the obvious one would be having your amalgams removed, or at least inspected. How do you go about finding the right people to do this? You wouldn't want to go down to your regular dentist and ask him to take out your amalgams, would you?
No, because the technique, how they remove it, is very important. In my book, I'm a little bit, brusque. And I write, dear patient, you go to your dentist and you ask the dental desk, oh, by the way, are you still doing amalgam in your practice?
Right.
And if they say yes, then bye-bye. We rather go to somebody else, because we don't want the dentist working on me who does unethical things, because it's toxic. I know it's brusque, but you have to
be
clear.
You have to look after yourself. So, okay, that's just for your general dentistry. But if you already have amalgams and you have a cancer diagnosis and you've realised this may be an issue and you want to have them removed, what are you looking for in the dentist then? Because that's a different ball game to what you put in.
Yes,
isn't it?
Exactly. This is very difficult to really give a good answer, because unfortunately there are a lot of dentists who run on this track. They just jumped on the train of biological, but they do not really do it. So If you remove your mercury fillings, then you should do a pre-treatment. You should do the removing correctly in the dental department, and you should do a post-treatment for several months. The pre-treatment goes with selenium, with vitamin C, with zinc, with algae. The removal itself has to be done with a slow speed drill. It has to be done under extremely good suction, and it has to be done with the technique which is called clean-up system, which has a very strong suction so that no vapors during the removal come to your body because they are superissimo toxic.
Right.
So afterwards, yeah. we suggest, in our clinic, we do IVs after the removal with DMPS, which is a drainage remedy. And afterwards, we give to the patients for at least 1 year, we give the remedies, algaes, green algaes, chlorella or spirulina, and or lava derivatives like like zeolite or such things,
yeah.
And vitamin C, zinc, and selenium we give to them.
Well, I can only think of one place in Britain that might be as thorough as you're describing. I think, if you went to someone who claimed to be a holistic dentist, you might get the actual mechanics of it done well, which is the proper suction and the dams and all that. But for the pre and post treatment, I can only think of one place that would know to do that. Probably you'd have to go to an integrative doctor to get that from.
Exactly.
From
yes, very good that you mentioned. We have the strong belief, well, that's by experience, that best is if the dentist and a integrative or a biological doctor, they work together for the pre and the removal and the post-treatment.
That's good to know. So, all right, very helpful. All right, I was thinking of bringing attention to your book, but your books, because I saw there were two there. Maybe you'd just like to say a bit more about what's in those books, and particularly the one that talks about biological medicine. Is that for practitioners or for patients or for general readers?
Our patients, they are very differentiated patients. That's a big advantage in my practice. They know very often more than the doctors.
But they're experts.
yes, but I mean it positively, not this kind of internet grabbers. I mean it positively, and they know already a lot. And for them, the book Biological Medicine is a very good book because it goes into the details. It describes the thinking, the mindset which we have for rebuilding your organism and for detoxification, and it gives 1,000 details.
Sounds great.
This is one, and the other one, this was my first one. Well, it has a little bit an American title, The Swiss Secret.
Right. Yeah.
But it is a diet book, and it shows how you can detoxify your body with the correct individualized nutrition, and it shows what the individualization is, how you get yourself into the information, what you have to do. And it's a nutritional book, and in the back my wife made a lot of recipes.
Great, very practical books. Great. Well, look, they both look like great resources, and I shall make sure that the details of both are available with the radio show. All right, so I think that's all we have time for today. That's been really interesting. Thanks very much, Dr. Wright. It's great to be able to interview you, a world expert in this field. It's brilliant. So thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Thank you very much to have me on the show. It's an important issue. And bye-bye to all the people who listen to me. Thank you.
And now I'm going to talk to Dr. Contreras. The Oasis of Hope has been working to help people with cancer for over 50 years, initially under Dr. Contreras Sr., and again, they place great emphasis at the hospital on the removal of toxins.
Hello, Dr. Contreras. Delighted to be able to speak with you again.
Well, it is my pleasure and honor to be with you, and I want to congratulate you on your new book, The Cancer Revolution, which I think it's a very, very important document, and that hope that many, many people read it because it can prevent cancer with this information, but also for people that have cancer will learn of their opportunities and alternatives available to them.
Great.
Thank you.
I'm completely delighted you agreed to be one of the contributors to our book. Your chapter is positioned in the detoxification section, and it deals with removing or reducing toxins within the body. So in the UK, at least, the establishment line is that detoxification is completely unnecessary. It all just happens by itself, and a balanced diet is all you need to keep in good shape. In other words, they generally encourage people not to waste their money on such things. Well, I know from your contribution to the book you don't think quite like that. Would you like to tell us why?
Well, if we lived in a perfect world and uncontaminated, it is true. We were designed to get everything that we needed with our foods. And if we eat the correct foods, then we would cleanse through the systems that were designed for that purpose. Without any problem. The reason that I feel that now it's insufficient, it's because the type of foods that we are ingesting, first, do not have all of the nutrients that are necessary for our body to function correctly. And secondly, they are tremendously contaminated with all sorts of chemicals for which our body was not designed to live with. And for that purpose, there is no question in my mind, and for any, you know, very open-minded and conscious nutritionist, that we are in desperate need of help as far as detoxification is concerned and as far as the proper nutrients are concerned. So I think that the reason is easy for us to understand.
Mm. Well, look, Dr. Fakirk outlines in his contribution to the detox section the enormous number of ways we have of absorbing toxins through everyday Western lifestyle. What are the areas of the body that you think are the most vulnerable and the most inclined to harbor toxins?
Well, I think, you know, definitely the colon is going to harbor a lot of toxins. And the problem is not that it harbors them, that if they stay long enough, they will go back into the circulation. So to me, the liver is probably the organ that I would favor to detoxify the most. Mm-hmm. And there are a number of ways to do that. Obviously, consuming, for instance, milk thistle is a very, very good way to help our liver detoxify. But there are some studies that show that some exercise will also help the biliary tree mobilize better so that, you know, all of these toxins will end up where they need to go, which is to the small and then the large intestine, so that we can get rid of the toxins through the stool. There are other toxins that will be then filtered through the blood by the kidneys. So consuming a good amount of elements like milk thistle, as I mentioned before, silibin and silymarin, all of these elements that are within the milk thistle are going to help us tremendously get rid of toxins in the liver. There were a number of studies done with anesthesia in milk thistle, and they found that when you consume milk thistle, you actually need a lot higher doses of anesthesia because the milk thistle purifies the liver so fast. Mm. So these are elements, I mean, especially the elements in milk thistle that are very, very helpful in keeping our liver clean.
Okay. And maybe some other most common techniques for removing unwanted substances from the body or at least lowering their levels significantly?
Well, I think that one of the best ones is consuming the food for which we were designed. And if you just look at your teeth, we have only 4 canine teeth, so it's about 11% of our teeth. If we consume only 11% of our calories from animal sources, that means that most of our food is going to be from the vegetable and fruit areas. And that would help us tremendously to maintain our bodies clean. The second one, as I already mentioned before, is exercise. Exercise not only helps you mobilize your bowels a lot better, but you will detoxify through the largest detoxifying organ that we have, which is the skin. And so you will get rid of a lot of toxins through the skin if you exercise to the point where you sweat. So I recommend about 4 hours of strenuous exercise a week for persons that can do it. Of course, we have some patients that are on wheelchairs or patients that are so ill with whatever disease that they cannot do as much exercise. But for most of us, 4 hours of strenuous exercise is very, very advisable and very detoxifying. It also is stimulates your immune system tremendously, but the truth is that exercise is a major detoxifying activity.
Right. So it's a win all round from the exercise, isn't it? So
no question.
Yeah. So possibly the technique that's been the subject of more ridicule than any other in the whole world of integrative cancer care is the humble coffee enema. But I think you'd defend them robustly as an important technique, wouldn't you?
Yes, I think that we need to have our colons quite clean. We were taught in medical school that moving your bowels between once a day and once every other day is normal, and that could not be further from the truth. There are some studies that show that people that mobilize that move their bowels 3 times a day have a much lower incidence of cancer. So having your colon clean is a very important factor. And the advantage of enema, even though many criticize it, is that the coffee first goes to the liver and it then stimulates the biliary tree. And so not only will you cleanse your colon with the enema, but the coffee will help the liver dump many toxins into the small intestine. So there's a big advantage with that. So a coffee enema can be very, very helpful to patients as far as detoxification is concerned. If you don't want to do that, you can use, you know, soap enema if needed. But the best way to mobilize your feces correctly is by consuming the correct type of foods. And that's why we were not born with an enema machine by our sides. So if you eat correctly, about 90% of our food intake should be from the vegetable kingdom, and about 11 or 10% should be from the animal kingdom. And that way, and if you do some exercise, just walking a half an hour a day is more than sufficient. Most people will move their bowels more than one time a day.
Mm-hmm. How about chelation techniques? Do you favor those?
Yes, we did a number of studies here for the reduction of cholesterol and cholesterol plaques many years ago, and we were able to prove that chelation therapy was quite effective. And there are some publications that support that. Now, as far as detoxification is concerned, that there's a lot more in the literature, especially with heavy metals, and the most common, of course, is lead. So chelation therapy is actually approved, at least in the USA and in Mexico, I'm not sure in England, for the removal of lead from your bloodstream. But it also removes other heavy metals as well, and this is very well established. So for the purpose of detoxification, chelation is not criticized as much as for the purpose of using chelation to remove calcium and cholesterol deposits from the arteries, which it also does.
Right. And maybe for some of the listeners who are not familiar with chelation therapy, you could describe the process.
Chelation is the process by which our blood can be cleansed from heavy metals through a chemical agent that actually attracts those metals. sort of like through magnetism. And it's a well-used and well-known process, again, for lead and mercury. And there are a number of chelating agents that are used for that purpose. But many years ago, scientists also found that cholesterol and calcium deposits within the arteries that call atherosclerosis can be removed with chelating agents. So a lot of the alternative medical specialists or professionals use chelation for this purpose as well.
Right. Okay, and how about some of the volcanic minerals? I know they're gaining quite a lot of popularity for cleaning things up. Do you use those at all?
No, in Mexico, those are not readily available. They are available, but not readily available.
Right.
But I have very little experience with that, but I've read that through a number of minerals, you can do also chelation. We have some oral chelating agents as well. And they take a long time, especially if you want to use them for atherosclerosis. They will be effective, but they will take a long, long time. Now, for the purpose of detoxification, we do have a number of mineral solutions that we use, basically on all of our cancer patients when they begin a therapy. And yes, mineral solutions, especially IV, can be very helpful for the purpose of detoxifying, especially some chemotherapeutical agents.
Right.
A lot of our patients come here after chemotherapy, and we then use these high mineral content solutions to detoxify them from chemotherapy quite effectively.
So it's a lot to expect our natural detoxification systems to cope with the likes of chemotherapy, isn't it? I mean, talk about they're completely foreign and extremely toxic, aren't they, of course?
Exactly. So it really makes very little sense, and it's not very intelligent for a scientist to say that you don't need any detoxification, because we are intoxicating our bodies a lot more nowadays with all of the drugs that we provide to our patients. I think detoxification is very, very important, not only in the area of cancer. I think that detoxification techniques should be used for any patient that for whatever reason spent some time in a hospital using very, very harsh drugs. For instance, the new antibiotics that we have available now, which can definitely save lives, are extremely toxic and aggressive. And so here, for instance, when we have a patient that for any reason had to be treated with this new type of antibiotics, we do the detoxification with minerals in very high dose of probiotics.
Right.
Which are also very, very helpful for detoxifying our body.
So the probiotics are actually promoting our own systems to do the job. Is that correct?
They're extremely important. And when you broom them out or kill them with antibiotics, you leave the body open for intoxication, because they will not remove endotoxins from the colon.
Mm. Of course, another very effective way of removing them is chemotherapy.
Yes, then now chemotherapy will kill them all.
Yeah, very important. So what you described is basically you've got sort of two sides of the coin here. One of them is taking out or minimizing the toxins in your body as much as you can, but also building up your own detoxification systems to be able to do the rest of the job and to ongoingly keep you in better shape. How important relatively do you rank these two approaches? Are they both equally important, or is one more important than the other?
In my opinion, they're both equally important. But there are some times when we as doctors tip the balance, for instance, as we mentioned, by using chemotherapy.
Right.
Then the supplementation of all of the elements that support for for the patient, as far as detoxification, is a lot more important. On the normal person, then to me, the most important is really changing their lifestyle so that they put less toxins in, so that the areas that are detoxification organs, you know, the kidneys, the liver, the colon, the lungs, the skin, basically those are our detoxifying agents, will need less support.
Right.
But in my opinion, there's a complete balance between the intake of toxins and the output of toxins. In fact, health is completely dependent on that. Hmm. If you put more toxins than the ones that you can get rid of, you will break that balance and you open yourself for disease.
Right. Makes sense. Okay, well, unexpectedly, in this chapter, you include the mind and spirit as candidates for detoxification. Can you tell us more about this?
Yes, you know, I believe, as I mentioned before, Hippocrates said that health depended on the balance between us and our environment, and I think that is basically true. We've been talking about this, but I think it goes a little bit further in this time and age where we are completely stressed out. So I believe that health really is a balance or an equilibrium between ourselves, our environment, and our spiritual realm. We all have emotional and spiritual needs. And regardless of your beliefs, we all have those needs. So that is why I included in this chapter that, you know, for a perfect balance and detoxification, we also need to detoxify our minds. And there's a little book that was written several years ago. I forget who, but it's, you know, it's called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff.
Oh, yeah, and, I know. I've heard the title.
And it's so good because sometimes, you know, we get bogged down by minutiae in our lives and we get so run down emotionally and spiritually. Hmm. So I believe that also our negative thoughts and the things that affect us tremendously, we need to detoxify those thoughts as well. And the stronger your spiritual being is, the better you will handle your emotions. And so that is what I was talking about in the area of emotional and spiritual detoxification.
Hmm. Okay, very interesting. All right, well, look, that's about all we've got time for. That's brilliant. Sincere thanks again for...
You're very welcome, Robin, and whenever you need me, I'm here for you.
Brilliant, brilliant. So I believe you've got some plans to visit the UK again this year, and if you can get all the details to me, I'll make sure they're broadcast to everyone so they know where and when. And I hope they'll all take advantage of the opportunity to come and hear you speak because you're such a great speaker.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Well, thanks and lovely to talk to you again.
Thank you very much. God bless.
That wraps it up for the detox section of the Cancer Revolution. As always, look at the Yes to Life website, click the link to Media Centre in the left-hand sidebar and then choose UK Health Radio. Look there for details of anything mentioned in today's show. If you want to let us know what you think about the show or the forthcoming book, you can tweet us at Yes to Life or at Cancer Rev, or you can post on our Facebook pages. There's one for Yes to Life, there's one for the Cancer Revolution, and indeed there's my own one. Next week, I shall be turning my attention to nutrition and talking to some of the many specialists who've contributed their expertise on this topic to the book. I sincerely hope you will have found today's guest as fascinating as I have, and you'll want to come back for more next week. Goodbye.